Good morning. This is Pastor Brad Ingram from the Truth Baptist Church in West Salem, Ohio, and I certainly appreciate you tuning in this morning as we bring a Bible lesson from God's Word, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I hope the Lord will use it in your life to strengthen you, to perhaps give you something that you need and you can carry with you, and I'm just glad you're here with us. Again, let me invite you to any of our services at the Truth Baptist Church. We're located in West Salem. If you're coming from Ashland, you'll go up 71 North, and you'll take exit 396. That's the West Salem exit. Off the exit, you'll take a left, and our church will be on the right, just about a half a mile. And we have various ministries for all parts of your family. We have a teen ministry. We have a senior citizen ministry called the Golden Oldies. We have a bus ministry. We strongly support missions, and there's many things to do, so many things going on at Truth Baptist Church. We'd like for you to come visit us and find your part in it all. Our Sunday school is 9:30, our morning worship at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and then Wednesday Bible study at 7. And so if you can make it to any of these services, we'd certainly be glad to have you. And if you come, please make it a point to see me and let me know that you heard about us through the radio ministry. It would be a great encouragement to us. Also, if you have been blessed by this ministry, please write us a note, put it in the mail, and let us know that you've been listening. We would certainly appreciate that. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 96, West Salem, 44287. Again, that mailing address is Truth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 96, West Salem, Ohio, 44287. And I would certainly appreciate that. All right, if you have your Bibles today, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6, in just a moment, we'll begin reading at verse 25. I'd like to share a thought with you today on worry. What's your worry? Perhaps you're struggling with worry at this time. Perhaps there's a consuming fear about a circumstance, about a situation, and it's just about got you crippled. I found that Christians, although they should not be worriers, are often the ones who worry the most. I find that there are many people in our churches, many people around the world who are consumed with worry, and they miss so much of the joy that God intends for them to have here and now, because they're always looking to the future, and they're fretting about something that may or may not even happen. And so today, let's look at God's Word. Let's see what His Word says concerning worry and what the Christians should do about it. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter number 6. I'm going to read to you beginning at verse 25, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. The Scripture says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now what we just read here is the words of our Lord as he was giving this Sermon on the Mount, the very well-known passage of Scripture. And he addresses here in the heart of this sermon, worry. Taking thought is how he expresses that, a certain anxiousness in the soul. And he's addressing this to his people. This is not an address to the lost world. This is not an address to the Gentiles, as it were. But the Lord spoke these words to his people, the Jews. And I believe there's an application here for his people of today, the local church, those who have been born again by the grace of God, by the blood of Christ through faith. There's a message here concerning worry. And again, I want to help you today, and I hope the scripture will find a place in your heart that will help maybe some dear soul here, some man, some woman listening who struggles with this worry, for whatever the reason. Let me give you a few things now. I want you to see, first of all, by way of introduction, there is absolutely no usefulness in worry. Worry has no value whatsoever. The Lord here, in this text we just read, makes this statement in verse 27, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" Now, a cubit is about a foot and a half. The Lord, in demonstrating this point, says to these people, "Which of you can grow 1.5 feet by worrying about it? Which of you can actually increase your stature by fretting and worrying and becoming so consumed with anxiety?" The answer, friends, is no one. You would think it absolutely absurd for me to tell you that you can grow overnight by simply going to bed and worrying about it. You would certainly think that I have lost my mind, and I would have had to make that kind of statement. But the Lord gives this statement to show his people the absolute, utter uselessness of worry. And I'm sure if you would be honest, you would have to agree with me, your worry has never changed a situation. Your worry has never improved your situation. Your worry has never done anything positive whatsoever. And the Lord wants us to be clear of this from the very outset. Now, let me give you some things that the Scripture teaches from Matthew chapter 6. First of all, what are some causes of worry? Why are believers worried? Now, this is not going to be an exhaustive message, but here are the main reasons I believe God's people worry. First of all, a Christian will worry when his priority is his life. Now, get that now. A Christian will worry when his priority is his life. The Lord tells us in Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Now, the Lord here is not saying that we should not take thought for anything. He simply says, take no thought for your life. And he's saying there that your life should not be your priority. If it's all about you and what you think you have to have and what you think you need and what you think must be given to you to survive and enjoy life, if that's your priority, then I would say you have a great reason to worry. And I would say if your life is priority above everything else, perhaps you would be justified in worrying. The Lord says, don't worry about your drink. Don't worry about your clothing. Don't worry about those things you need. But he tells us later on in the chapter here that we ought to seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I wonder how many people have went to bed worrying about maybe you missing the opportunity of witnessing to someone about Christ that day. I wonder how many of us have worried about spending so little time in prayer. I would say not very many. But what we've spent our time worrying about are those things of the earth, those external things, the things we can see and touch and situations. And the Lord says those things are not to be your priority. All right, then, if the Lord teaches that our life is not to be our priority, then what life are we to worry about? In other words, what life are we to give ourselves to? Well, let me give you some scripture here. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm sure you know it well. The Apostle Paul says, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I." Notice this. "But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul is saying there is a life I have. There is a life I'm living. But it's not my life. Paul tells us clearly that the life I'm now living is indeed the Christian life. It's Christ's very life lived out through me. It's Christ in me using my hands, using my feet, using my mouth, using my eyes. Everything about me Christ is using. And that's what is meant back in Matthew chapter 6 when the Lord says, take no thought for your life. Now, the Lord, again, I must say, he does not say take no thought for life. He's not saying just sort of be some fatalist and just throw up your hands and say whatever will be, I'm not going to worry about it. The Lord wants us to take thought for our life, but it's not our life. And folks, let me say it again as clearly as I can. If you make what you think you need, your clothing, your food, your shelter, if those things are your priority, then you'll have a great reason to worry when you don't see those things. If you lose your job, perhaps, you'll worry. If perhaps sickness leaves your body, you'll worry. If perhaps you lose your home, you'll worry. If that's the priority, if your life is the most important thing to you, then you'll be worried all through your life on earth. Let me give you another scripture in Colossians chapter 3. The Bible says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Notice verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye also appear with him in glory." Notice that. Apostle Paul said, when Christ, who is our life, Christ is not to be a part of our life. Christ is to be our very life. And if he is, if he truly is, we will not give place to worry, because the Lord Jesus never worried. He was on this earth. He resigned himself to the care of his Father. He did not fret about anything. He knew that whatever his Father had preordained to come to pass would come to pass. And that's how you and I are going to separate ourselves from the world in this matter of worry. If you have your Bible still open there, in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord gives us a lesson here. In verse 32, the Lord says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." Now see, the Lord's saying that the Gentiles, the lost man, he's seeking after his food and clothing. He's seeking after his money and his prestige and his popularity and his house and his lands. But the Lord said, you are no longer a Gentile. You're no longer a member of the lost race of Adam. You've been saved. And folks, I don't want to live as a lost man. I'm a born-again believer. And I don't want to live as though I have never come in contact with the saving grace of Christ. I want to live as though I indeed have been delivered from my own sin. I've been made a child of God by the new birth. But the Lord says very clearly to his people, don't live this way in worry. Don't give all your attention and all your time to those things that you think you need. If you'll give your attention to the life of Christ lived through you, there'll be no need to worry. There'll be no need whatsoever to worry, because you know that Christ himself will meet every need, and he knows your need. All right, now quickly here, look at the second reason I see believers worry. A believer will worry when he or she speculates about tomorrow. The Lord makes it very clear here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, you and I can get all worked up when we go through possible scenarios about tomorrow. We can replay in our mind over and over and over again how a certain thing may happen, or what certain things may be said, or what this one will do, or what that one will do in this circumstance. You see, God's saying here, don't think about those things. Don't spend your time today, don't spend your God-given opportunities today worrying and fretting about tomorrow. You see, the reason for that is God's already in your tomorrows. With the Lord Jesus, there is no past, there is no future. He is the ever-present God. The Lord does not have a yesterday, the Lord does not have a tomorrow. The Lord has an eternal today. That's why he revealed himself to Moses as the I am. Not as the I was, or not as the I will be, but I am. And so God sees all of your life, if you're a believer, as a moment in time. It's all before him. And even though you cannot see tomorrow, he's already there. Therefore, he says, don't worry about it. I'm already there. I know what you need. I'll meet your need. There's no need in you missing today, worrying about tomorrow. And simply as well, you may not even be here tomorrow. Perhaps the Lord is going to take you home today. Perhaps the Lord will come again for his church today. There'll be no tomorrow, and you may have wasted your last opportunity to do a work for Christ today if you're simply worried about tomorrow. That's why the Lord taught the disciples to pray concerning their daily bread, "Give us this day our daily bread." He did not say ask for tomorrow's bread or ask for next week's bread. He said just give us this day. I know some believers who are so consumed with what they're going to have next week and next month and next year, and they miss God's provision for them today. I think a beautiful picture of this is in the Old Testament when God fed Elijah the prophet with bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. God calls the birds to come over Elijah and drop the food down to him twice a day. Now, honestly, folks, you know it's true. God could have caused those birds to bring enough food to last Elijah all week. Those birds could have brought enough food on the first day of the week to take Elijah all the way through. But if that had happened, how much faith would Elijah have needed? He wouldn't have needed very much at all until the week was over, because he had the food there before him. He could see it. He could touch it. He could smell it. He could taste it. He knew it was there. But you see, God wanted Elijah to have daily faith, every day, trusting God every moment of every day. And that's why he worked that way in bringing bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. Now, another example here the Lord gives us concerning this truth is found in verse 30. Of our text, the Lord says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" The Lord's giving an illustration here, and he says, if God the Father cares for the grass, if the blade of grass is cared for today, even though it's going to be cast to the oven tomorrow, it's going to thrive today because God's caring for it. Now, of course, this perhaps sort of may sound like a sort of a silly illustration here, but the grass is not worried about being cut down tomorrow. It's enjoying the sunshine today. It's enjoying the rain today. It simply does not know what's in its future. God knows. God knows tomorrow the oven will be the place the grass will be taken and burned. But that does not stop God from taking care of the blade of grass today. And folks, if you and I are going to enjoy the benefits of an all-wise, loving Savior, we're going to have to stop this business of speculating about tomorrow. I've learned very well that most of the situations I get so worked up about in worry never come to pass. I would say I'm talking to some folks that could make the same testimony. You got so worked over something that you thought may happen or something you thought someone may say, and it never came to pass. I've heard it said that worry is the interest you pay on debts that may never come due. And my, that's a true statement. Worry is the interest you pay on debts that you may never owe. And so give your todays to Christ. Give your tomorrows to Christ and enjoy. Now, I am not saying that we should not plan for tomorrow. I believe we ought to be good stewards today. I believe we ought to do things today that would secure a living tomorrow. But I'm saying don't be consumed with it. Do what you must. Be wise in your planning. And then leave everything else to the Lord. I believe that's the lesson he's teaching here when he tells us not to worry about tomorrow. And then he makes this statement, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." The Lord says you've got enough trouble today to deal with without borrowing from tomorrow's troubles. The Lord says you need grace today to overcome the enemy without worrying about the combat you're going to face again tomorrow. I wonder how many of us have been defeated today because we've been worried about the battle tomorrow. God wants us to win today. God wants us to win tomorrow. And so this is another reason, I believe, that Christians worry. Now, moving on, the third reason I see for a Christian to worry is when their faith is not fed. If a Christian does not feed his faith or feed her faith, that faith will become weak, and they will have a great cause to worry. Again, let me read to you verse 30 from Matthew chapter 6. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the fire, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" The Lord's saying here, your anxiety comes from the fact that your faith is weak. I won't take you here for time, but in Mark chapter 6, we read the account of the disciples and how the Lord worked mightily to feed over 5,000 people with just a few loaves and fishes. That's a very well-known miracle. Most folks learned that in Sunday school. These disciples were witnesses to perhaps the greatest miracle they'd ever seen. The Lord took just a small lad's lunch and fed over 5,000 people with it. Now, perhaps if you and I had seen that, we would have said, "That's enough. After seeing that, I'll never doubt my Lord again. If he can do this, he can do anything." But I wonder if we'd actually believe that, if we'd actually practice that. In Mark 6:41, they saw the miracle of the loaves and fishes. But in Mark chapter 6:48 through 52, when the storm came, their faith was weak. And the Bible says they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Why was their faith weak down the latter half of that chapter? Because they had forgotten what God had done earlier in that chapter. If they had just remembered God fed the multitude with just a lad's lunch, they would have realized in the storm God can take care of them again. And I wonder how many times we forget what God's done for us in the past through answered prayer, through meeting our needs when we thought there was no way. I wonder if we forget those things, and that's why we worry when a similar situation comes back up. Folks, I would encourage you to do whatever you have to do to keep the blessings of God always before your face. Bless the Lord, O my soul, David said, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. It's easy for you to remember something bad. It's easy for you to remember when you were hurt by someone else, but it's more difficult to remember the goodness of God because we are still fallen creatures and we have the old nature still with us. But the Lord teaches in Matthew 6, if you don't feed your faith daily, you'll be a worrisome Christian. Now let me give you this before we close. How does a believer overcome worry? I'm glad the Bible simply does not tell us that we ought not worry without giving us a way we can actually obey that command. You see, the Lord here is not only the physician who diagnoses, but he's also the physician who cures. And so in his word, he's given us the cure for worry, for anxiety. And if you want to turn here with me, I believe it'd be profitable, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 is perhaps one of the most clear and classic passages concerning what a believer must do to overcome worry. And if you're there, I want to look with you at chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse number 5 in just a moment. But now we're answering the question, how does a believer overcome worry and anxiety? Philippians 4, verse 5, the Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul says, be careful for nothing. That statement simply means do not be filled with care. Careful simply means full of care, full of worry, full of anxiety, full of doubt and frustration. This chapter tells us that we cannot allow those things to take root in our life, and the way we're to pluck them out is to bring the situation to God in prayer immediately. Don't let that thing grow up into a mountain of worry. As soon as you feel the devil attacking and throwing those fiery darts of unbelief, the Bible says that we're to bring these things to God with prayer and supplication immediately. Don't let it grow. If you feel yourself beginning to be consumed with worry, then you take it to God quickly. Do not let that thing mature. All right, the second thing I see in this text that will help us overcome worry is found in Philippians chapter 4 again. Verse number 5, the scripture says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Thanksgiving. Not only are we to pray and to petition God, but we're to thank God. Thank God for what? Thank God for the way He's answered our prayers in the past. Thank God for how He has given us His peace in the past. Thank God for how He has cared for us so tenderly in the past. And when you pray, I wonder how much of your prayer is actually given to thanksgiving. You see, if we're not thankful Christians, it all goes back to this lesson of not remembering what the goodness of the Lord has done for us. Folks, do not forget God's dealing in your life. Do not forget those things which you praised God for when they happened. Do not forget those things that brought you so much joy and peace. Don't let those things slip. And the way you won't let those things slip is if you continually give thanks for them. This gives assurance. If I spend my prayers thanking God for how He showed His power on my behalf yesterday, it'll give me assurance that He'll show Himself strong in my life today. And if He shows Himself strong in my life today, then tomorrow I need to remember today. And that'll give me assurance for tomorrow. You see, it just keeps going. And then let me give you this. The third way I believe that we can overcome doubt, and the last thing I want to give you this morning, is found also in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. All right, these two verses tell us how we are to overcome worry and how we can have the peace of God with us. You're determined to have heavenly thoughts. That's how you overcome worry. The Apostle Paul said, finally, brethren, think on these things. All right, what things is he speaking about? Those things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good and virtuous and praiseworthy. Who do you know that fits the bill on all these things? Who is the one man that is all of these things together, true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtuous and praiseworthy? Jesus Christ alone. There is no one else on planet Earth or in the heavens that can fit this description. No one else. I cannot fit this description, and you cannot fit this description. Therefore, we're not to think on ourselves. We're not to think on others. We're to think on Christ. Doesn't the Bible teach us that we're to be looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith? If Christ is continually in your heart, you will not give place to worry. If your thoughts are man-centered, if your thoughts are about you and yours and what you may get or what you may lose, you'll be a worrisome believer. You'll be always full of care. Then I want you to take one statement with you today, and don't miss this. The size of your Christ will determine the size of your crisis. You see, if you have very high thoughts of Jesus Christ, if you exalt the Lord, if you see Him high and holy and lifted up, then your trials will be very small compared to Him. If you see the Lord as He truly is, your worries will fade away. Then the Bible, doesn't the song say, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim? You see, David in the Old Testament, when it came time to fight Goliath, David did not compare himself with Goliath. That would have been absolutely absurd. David was just a lad, and Goliath, a mighty man of war. David compared his God to Goliath. And when he did that, he knew he could take him. You see, what are you comparing your troubles to? If you're comparing your ability to your troubles, then your trouble is going to be very, very large. If you have a small God, then your trouble is going to be large. But if you have a great Christ, you'll have a very insignificant crisis. And so again, I say to you, the size of your Christ will determine the size of your crisis. And in worry, friends, we must have a proper view of God. And you won't get a proper view of God unless you come to the Scripture. Only in the Scripture do we find a right view of who the Lord is, as is given in Isaiah chapter 6, high, holy, and lifted up. I hope this has been encouragement to you. I hope that you have found something in this message you can use to help you in your Christian life to overcome worry. Now, Lord, I pray you'd bless those listening. Help us to learn the lesson well, that we may overcome worry today and serve you with all of our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.